that they would want justice to look at those clauses and they have the stroke patients and the impossibly full heads and even the anod A, it means our focus will have to be suspended on the ball. So that's the solution, easily getting the improvement in the ball. So if you're not talking about taking it out and then having another ball, this is one ball. It just means that our process, if the committee goes that way, for justice to look at it and be competent, it just means that the LRA will lay another week or two or three until that process is finalized. If there's a joint meeting today with justice, let's say in April, when either that meeting is scheduled, and this committee feels that, no, we're comfortable, we don't want it in our bill, we can take it out, and it must go through justice to a new bill or whatever, then this committee can do that also. But that those are the options that are available to this committee at that time when more information is forthcoming. So if justice is going to go forward with it, it either suspends observations, the parliamentary observations on this bill, and we wait, or we take it out, they have to introduce a new bill, and this bill goes on and finalized. So that's the option to the committee.
What if they introduce a new bill?
No,
I'm just saying, in case we have to follow that route, we have to have public participation again.
It would have to go the normal process through the executive, coming through Parliament, going through 159, but it goes through all those processes again. But that is for this committee in joint consultation with the Justice Portfolio Committee.
Honourable members, are there questions? Mr. Mkali, please.
Chair, the letter from the chair of the committee last week also indicates the need for a meeting between the Department of Labor and the Department of Justice to talk to this issue. And there are two issues in the letter from the Department of Justice. The first issue is the issue of Section 53, the one where the present legislation says that the president of the Labour Court, of the Labour Pool Court, can appoint acting judges out of the pool of the High Court. That's what the present law says. And our amendment was that we should include there the Labour Court, because we can appoint from the Labour Court or the High Court civil service. That's the one issue that was raised. The second issue that was raised was we proposed in 51 two things. The first thing is, in setting up the rules in 51, we proposed that to remove the Minister of Justice in dealing with the rules of the Labour Court and put the Minister of Labour in that. And that's the problem that they had with it. Now, we met with J.D. Kosami, who also briefed the chairperson of the committee after the meeting yesterday. And we agreed on his committee, the Committee of Justice. We're going to brief the chairperson of the Department of Justice, because he deals with the Supreme Court with the Department of Justice. And we met and we look on the two issues that the Committee of Justice is raising. In the discussion that we have with Kosama, that he has taken through, he has confirmed it in writing, and sent it as a copy of what he has said in the confirmation. That there is an argument that, first, initially, is that the committee's problem with Section 23 is that it seems there's no need for the amendment that we are making, because if you're looking at the Supreme Court deal, the Supreme Court deal defines Supreme Court as the High Court and Equivalent Court. If you look at the petition of the Supreme Court deal, therefore, if the Supreme Court deal defines Supreme Court as the High Court and Equivalent Court, remember the Labour Court is same status as the High Court. Now, if the Supreme Court deal defines that as the same status, therefore, technically, it means that the JP of the Labour Court can appoint acting judges from the Labour Court because they are the same status as the Supreme Court. And when we debate that issue, we reach an argument that says, why can't we finalize this issue by linking that section to the Supreme Court decision? And when we left, we agreed that the section should instead read that the JP can appoint judges, any judge who is a judge in terms of the Supreme Court, of the Supreme Court as defined by the Supreme Court bill. That was what we agreed yesterday. But in his email, when he came back today, he is saying, look, we don't think that there's a problem with the proposal that is being put on the table on the Sunday. And then that's what is in front of the comment, the email that he has sent from practice. That's what he's going to discuss. That section 32, one, that's the issue of putting to the table, the High Court and the Labour Court on acting of justice. Now, that's what he's saying, but it should be confirmed in the joint meeting on the issue. When you go to that joint meeting, you know what the Constitution of the State Department is in terms of this issue. On the section 51, the issue there is that we're making an amendment in the present amendment, two amendments. One is, in our wisdom, we're making an amendment to remove the Department of Justice in the appointment of the committee that will deal with the role of the Labour Court, and say that committee will be appointed by the Minister of Labour. Now, the Control Committee of Justice is the problem with that proposal. And we met with, also with Dave yesterday, discussed the issue. They made it clear that they do not have a problem with the justice, the Chief Justice, having to make sure that the committee meets every 2 years. What they got a problem with is for that to be taken out of the Minister of Justice. And we agreed then in the discussion with him that, look, we can leave the law as it is, as far as it refers to the Minister of Justice. Therefore, it is the law as it stands now, it says the Minister of Justice will appoint in consultation with NetNet members of the board, the rules board. And then we agreed that that part could remain as it is. And they indicated that they do not have a problem, that the email also indicates that they do not have a problem with the fact that the rules board should meet every 2 years, and that the LRA should indicate. And he is saying in his email that in future, possibly in the years come after this process, there will be a better consolidation that could also change this, because as I've indicated, there's an intention in the Department of Justice to have an act that deals with the rules board of all courts. And that act will be the same as the Supreme Court being, as it is dealing with the rules board. And that act will have special provisions for different courts catering for different interests of the different courts. And he's also conceding the point, because we explained to him where this point is coming from. The fact that the rules board of the Labour Court met once since the formation of the Labour Court. And things have changed, there's been court decisions that affect the operation of the court. And the reason the rules board has not met is because the previous judge, Judge Rondo, did not see a need for the rules board. And the network party then said, look, we can't have a situation where the rules board to meet will depend on how sympathetic the social partner is a society judge. As a result, the network partner wanted to put that limitation of 2 years that it should be every 2 years. Now, justice doesn't have a problem with that. In the email that he sent, you see that they say that we should agree that it should meet every 2 years if there's a need or if there's a request for meeting. They don't have to meet every 2 years if there's no need, there's nothing issue. But there should be a provision that is put in law that shows that they will meet, if there's a need for this for them to meet, they should be meeting. Now, and he's saying in this email that when the reservation of the rules is taking place, this issue through that process will be registered. Possibly that law will amend the LRA and take that provision out of the LRA. But in the meantime, because of the pressing need, and because that process is going to take another estimate, it takes more than 2 years for them to handle the issues of the world. In the meantime, we are very good to handle the issues. That's the understanding that we had with the Department of Justice, as there's a request from the chairperson of the Justice Committee that the City Department should try and meet and try and come up with a solution on the issue. And both of us then agree, as I said, on two issues, that there is a need to make sure that the security in terms of meeting of the roadblocks don't leave it there, and that the LRA can regulate pending that roadblock act when it comes to operation 3 or 4 years down the line, depending on the time it will take to come up. Secondly, on the issue of the High Court and the Labour Court acting judges, on principle, as you will see on the image, we do not have a problem with that. In fact, as I said, we've agreed on a way to deal with it, and then we came back, I'm sure, because he said he was going to consult and see Chairperson telephonically also of the committee. And I'll keep saying that no, there seems to be no problem with the amendment that we're making in this area. On the other areas, we've already agreed, the committee has already agreed that everything else will be taken off because it's covered in the situation. These are the two only areas in that letter that have been raised. There's no other issue in that letter. The other one on whether the judges of the Labour Court should be requested to give the judgment as soon as possible. The letter from the chairperson says they agree with that because they also accept that the intention of the legislature has been that the decision of the Labour Court should be given as fast as possible, therefore they do not have a problem with that section 2, section 24, and the committee. So those are the issues in the letter that the chairperson of this committee wrote to the chairperson of the other committee. The other chairperson responded to those issues, and those were the only two issues remaining in terms of the two commissions of the committee.
Thank you, colleague. These matters are not new to the committee, so I think what we need to do at the end of this, we need to get a decision that we are going to have a meeting next when we open in April, and the first meeting should be the meeting between us as the Portfolio Committee of Labour and Justice, and we hope that you will meet before we meet, so that you can add value to that joint meeting of both committees. I'm going to let me give over to Honorable Nyakemba. Any other comment from the other members? Okay. And then I'll give the conference open to Advocate Gordon to respond.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I think what has just happened now is explanation in terms of the issue that we should not be in this any consensus in a way of overlapping. My assumption is that obviously, there's supposed to be a parliamentary legal team that is working with the Department of Justice. If it's not even that, so the point I'm raising here is linked to what is just said, that the two departments, that is Justice and Constitutional Development and Labour, we understand the communication that took place, names and everything. They need to be that in that meeting, that joint control committee, the two departments then will be there and presenting to the joint control committee. So in order not to hear today what the Department of Labor says and then tomorrow the Department of Justice says this, so in that way, it's not too much preference. I was making this reference to Advocate Gordon, that I assume that there are fundamental legal advisor to that committee. I'm of the view that I think even yourself, with your colleagues who are assisting that committee, you will need and have a common understanding in order. Come that joint portfolio committee meeting, there is no gray areas, everything is understood, is that a presentation to the two committees, and then for the committees then now to execute the amendment. Thank you, sir.
The shop's too at it, okay.
I was glad to take this through half of
the shop to two. I see your hand is up, Mr. Kalif.
I'm not sure whether we finish with there are other small amendments that came out that we sent through, but if the chair is allowed that to explain them, we don't want the committee to approve them, so that's a consideration to the sitting committee that were left out of the process. Because of the transitional arrangement.
Yes. Yeah. I think what we'll do, we'll ask the legal team from Parliament to meet with the Parliament Justice Legal Advisor from Parliament, have their own meeting as the department is having theirs. Both this will fit into the joint meeting that we'll close that matter. Mr. Mkhalif, or the state law advisors wanted to comment on this one. They died from
you. Can I say, we had discussion with the conservation department yesterday, and I assisted that if you could just draw some of the proposals in the document which were circulated in the committee, just some of the proposals based on the discussions they had, but this is not the draft they proposed, only the ones in black. If the other ones were just the thinking of the policy for the committee to consider pending that discussion that we will have with Labour and Justice together.
If you could introduce your colleague.
Papalitis Murutando, she has joined our office. She's a senior legal advisor, special advisor in our office, and she will also be attending the meeting. She comes from the Human Rights Commission, so the shop stewards will be happy as a activist day. Be concerned as well as after.
Welcome, welcome. Mr. Mkalipi wanted to address us on something.
As long as we're not going to continue anymore.
Honourable members, we submitted a document dealing with basically transit arrangement. In the proposal that was made in the bill, we're making changes on section 34 on organizational rights. Remember the section that deals with organizational rights that we discussed the last time also. Of that organizational rights in 34. Now, the issue is that if you're making changes on that section dealing with organizational rights, what happens to the arrangement now when the section that's the first thing it's trying to do. It's trying to indicate what happens to the policy partners that are entrusted now, what happens to the present situation, so that we don't have a vacuum when section 81A886 comes into play, and then we're trying to make sure that issues refer to the commission about organizational rights before the commission. Mr. President signed this bill on the 2014 in June. The issues that were launched before June should still be dealt with in terms of the old provision. That's what he's trying to explain, because it's got to be in the law. The transit arrangement on those areas that are changing. That's the first thing that we're dealing with. About issues that were launched before the Act came into operation. Mr. President, that's the signing into law in June. All the cases that took place before the signing date, we're making sure that the law talks about that issue. Because presently, there are no transit arrangements in the bill. And also it talks on arbitration awards. All the changes that we're making on arbitration awards, remember we're making a lot of changes in section 43 and section 144 in the bill already on arbitration awards. And the proposal that we're making clear is that also making it clear when those changes, what happens to the arbitration awards that come before the decision becomes law. The application of reviews, remember on the issue of reviews, we're asking that if an employer wants to apply for a review, they're supposed to be what you call the money that we put in. Now, to which review does it apply? We're trying to make those clarifications in terms of issue. It's a number of issues on the issue. I know there's a band of the whether you allow temporal employment agents. Section 38, if you do allow temporal employment agents, you will go to make it clear in terms of when does it apply, when does the 6 months kick in. I mean, if the law is signed into law in June, when do we start counting for the 6 months? The bill as it stands doesn't explain that. That's what the transit arrangement has been. On the issues of fixed term contracts, remember we now say fixed term contract is only for 6 months, except those from the exception. When does it kick in? When do you start counting the 6 months after the law has come into place? What happens to the fixed term contracts that were already in place before the law came into operation? Remember, you can't mandate the law. And those are the things that we're trying to clarify here. the issue of part-time employees. Remember, we're making provision now what part-time employees is and the benefits of the workers who are part-time employees. That's the issue that we're putting on the table, that we're supposed to put on the deal initially, but they are not part of the deal, the transitional arrangement. So that we can make it clear to the labor market when what applies. It does not change the clauses in the deal, it does not affect the clauses in the deal, but it's putting the thing that there's a need to put transitional arrangement into the law in this area.
Thank you, Khalid. I just want to check one thing. If there was no arrangement in the bill, or if there's a new thing that was bringing in that did not go through NEDLAC and it did not go through public participation processes, we cannot entertain that now. Ms. Williams, can you raise your voice? We didn't hear that.
The next proposal was also the committee rejected the clause for the threshold.
Can I just maybe that at least finish what I was saying? Because
okay,
I thought you wanted to say something. Because I wasn't giving you space, you decided to discuss it with Mukhalifa. So I was trying to do that. Okay, if something did not go through public participation, we can't entertain it here. Otherwise, we'll end up in the court and we'll lose the case in court. Somebody will say there was no public participation on this matter. But on matters where there's the phrasing, numbering, that is technical stuff, that we can handle. We don't need public participation on that one. Now, this transitional arrangement, what I want to check, won't they give us problems? Or could we just insert that clause? What are the implications? So, before I give Honorable William a chance, let's run through this one. Anyhow, Dr. Liu.
Good morning, members. I'm such happy to be in as well this morning. We were a bit surprised by all the changes coming in, especially at this stage. We will have to go through every school to see how the proposed with our colleagues from the department saying now are transitional arrangements or provisions, how that affects how far it goes. Like Chair correctly said, if it's a technical amendment, it's fine. But if it goes into something substantive and for which the public would have wanted to give input, then we are we have to caution that there is then the risk that somebody will go after the fact saying, but this is something that substantively is going to impact on me, even if transitional for that period, that may affect somebody. So we will have to ask permission from the committee chairperson to go to this document and actually analyze it and have that time to read it in line with the Principal Act and the bill as currently before the committee to see what that impact is. With such short notice, we have not been granted that opportunity to actually work with the document in detail.
How many pages are in the book?
In this one? This one is C, but it's a proposed amendment to the A list, so we will have to read that with Honourable Willie of Honourable, sorry, not Honourable Lynn, and our colleagues. With our colleagues. We will have to read that in line, as well as there was a 31-page document that also came from the department that speaks to various clauses. So we have that 31-page informative document, this new amendment proposed, and then the 5 March.
And
all the 31-page one was sent yesterday afternoon. So we are a bit tight on time to give the committee an analytical approach, but we agree with Chairperson that there needs to be caution that anything that comes now will have to be thoroughly examined to see whether it has a substantive impact or a mere technical one. If it's technical, it can go through it, but if there's any risk of a substantive impact this committee will have to guide through the process again if they want to find that.
Honourable members and everybody, let's try to do the right things and do them the right way. You know, these editions are good. Maybe they will make our life much easier. But are they the right thing to do them now? You know, I think we need to, and we cannot keep on adding issues. And we cannot keep on adding issues on this business because we will never finish this process. You know? And if these things escape us during the drafting, and the matter has gone through public participation and all the other steps, we cannot hijack the situation. I mean, you know, we can't hijack this kind of notion. I think it's going to cause us more harm than good. And that nothing stops us after passing this amendment to bring further amendments after 2 months as additions, so that nothing stops us from doing that. You know? But let's not do something that after we have passed this, voted on it, and then some union or somebody goes to the Constitutional Court and said, no, but we are not given a chance to comment on this. We are told to comment on this, to engage our minds on this clauses. But now these others were added in the process and were never given in. I don't think we should do that. Let's not do that in Kali. And our living us members, let's not bring new issues into this matter we're dealing with, please. Honorable William.
I just might say one point to make. When the department were going through their proposed amendments, the new ones, they talked about the 6 month period, and I just want to say that period hasn't been decided on 6 months yet, so we shouldn't try to push it down our throats continually like we do. It's not good. Thank you.
No. I need to correct you on that one. No one is running the 6 months down anyone's throat. It came from the House to this House for discussion. And this is the only thing that is on document. 6 months. We are the ones who can change this 6 months. He's not running it down our throat. It is there in the document. And it's our responsibility to either accept it, reject it, or come up with something new. It is in order to refer to it as 6 months, and it's in order for everybody to refer to it as the 6 months period. For now, until we... Yes. Honorable Nyakembo.
I'm going to advocate.
Advocate with all the papers.
Yeah, thank you, sir. The approach by the department, there's still something that they could not see whilst the process was in place. Because when you change the existing law, there has to be transition of how that law, if it is passed, then needs to be now. They didn't have eyes to see that whilst they were examining. Now, in the middle of discussion, in fact, towards the end, I've been sitting here thinking that if this bill came to us and then there was no problem with that, but not fine. We voted and agreed on. What was the department going to do? In other words, the point that they are raising is fundamental. Because once now this bill becomes the law, obviously workers, whether assuming that I don't like this whatever period for a temporary employment service, if at the end of the day we agree, obviously once the law has been promulgated, that they will play. Now, counting from last year being employed by a laptop broker, so then that's the answer. So the thinking behind what the department is trying to say is to avoid unnecessary litigation after the passed the bill to a law. So, but I think the parliamentary law advisors, their suggestion to say, they want to look at this, look at the implications, link it with everything else, and how good is this? What is the deduction to be done in order to avoid a situation where, after passing the law, and then there's a lot of challenges, and there's no peace in the workplace as a result of the new amendment? I think that, for me, we allow the parliamentary legal advisor to go through this proposed, look at what kind of a process that we can engage in order to avoid what will happen after this bill becomes law. Lastly, sir, my colleague was correct. What has been the consensus in NetLag? Now it's not in NetLag, it's in Alan. And with regard to that, there are different views. There's zero, there's 3 months, there's 6 months that comes with them, there's 12 months that such is coming up with, so there are no months that are attached.
You are nice.
I'd like you to be
vigilant. Okay. I think we've given enough room for people just to chat. Let's put a structure to this. Let's go back to the LRA. We're going to park Section 28, 29, and the others. We'll put them in the parking lot, and then you can move from there going forward. We'll come back to those plots at a later stage. I'm trying to put structure to this discussion, because I think it was good that we talk and remind one another where we were. But there's some work to be done, and some of these things we'll discuss them when the time arrives for them. Do you want to?
I think it's possible to speak to that at the last meeting. The chief has requested us to go back and look at the alternative to 28. Because the committee says the one to provide the threshold. So the committee expects us to go back and draw something and come back with a proposal. We have done that with the department, and we have a proposal which I know in the working draft to the committee.
That was Ms. Williams. Can you check where we were when we stopped last week? No, no, we're going back into the test, yeah. And then this issue, any issue will be met, we'll address it when we get to it. But now we are going to skip, to put the justice in the parking lot, and after our engagement with the rest of all other teams next month, we'll revisit them, then we'll start with this moving forward. We can go forward and backwards on this one, if it allows. Trying to put structure to the discussion. Somebody has their phone on and is going to either put it on your left so that you can see it vibrate on the table. You can't do it. You don't have anything against what must be enough. It's something else.
No, but it's the same
clause that shows what we should. Can we discuss this clause when we get to that? I wonder if let's practice with another way.
Chesterton, I just checked the Salonius memory serves me right. We went through the proposed draft and just in the past those issues along with the first 48. I think Gordon and myself then also indicated to the committee which were policy decisions and where we took out all the legal issues. So I think we went through the bill in its entirety except for the cost. My colleagues can correct me if I'm wrong with that. My memory serves.
Chapter 4 issues that we've had a discussion on now.
Issue of violence. That section has been all of those issues that were not apart from the
Can we have a 10-minute break?
Yeah.
So that we can yeah. 10 minutes. Take a break.
Wonderful long weekend, as you can see.
Were you wrestling? We're going to refer all these matters about outstanding matters on the LRA to April. There are certain things that need to happen, the meetings between the department and the lawyers with the justice people. The parliament lawyers need to look at the NR. We need to look at the 31-page document that was received yesterday in the afternoon, so that we can get time to apply our minds when we know it, so that we can apply our minds when we deal with this issue in April. I think that we close the meeting here on the LRA and then move on to other matters on the agenda. That is the minutes of the next meeting. All presentations about this will be done next week, I mean, in April.
The parliamentary legal advisor will also look at that as well with the current LRA and with him and how can it be used. If that is the case, I would suggest that immediately when they make up their mind on this, before that meeting, I think if we get the thinking from that around this, before the meeting, that for me, that would be fine. Rather than to get that thing in the middle for us to go back and apply our money. I thought to check whether their thinking will be invited to ask the members of the committee in order to come to the meeting with April. When arriving in the meeting, we know which issues that were dealt with and how do they see those issues. So it also for ourselves to be getting in that meeting with April. Thank you.
That's the same as doing the right thing, doing them the right way.
Okay.
The right way is you want people to engage on an issue. Give it to them on time so that they can apply their mind. But if you want to ambush them, you'll give them the document in the meeting. And if they allow you to ambush them, you'll say the meeting should continue. But if you don't, you say, we'll meet again next week. We need time to apply our minds around the document. I think that is the understanding. Can we move on to the minutes of the 12th and 19th March? You don't want to comment on our minutes?
No.
You don't need those who want to listen to our minutes can stay. Don't even tell me. It's not on Facebook. Any big meeting without it, you cannot accept an agenda. In a political meeting, with a meeting. I have to get that apology from the minister. He was not attended. Yeah. I'm going to go through a meeting. Let's look at the minutes of the Tuesday 12th March. And page 1. Page 1. Page 2. Page 2 and the last page, page 3. No comment on this anymore. Any mover? Is there a student?
I'm in here.
Honorable Matau?
Yes.
Honorable Nyakemba? Thank you. 19th March. Page 1. I just want to comment a little bit on this thing. Yeah. We have attendance and parties and apologies. We need to have some of those who did not apologize. Whether those who are absent. Absent need to let's put it there. It makes life much more easier. when you are to give a report next time you came the minute. He won't be able to help you. Page 2. And page 3. William?
Good afternoon.
Oh, I just wanted to say that. No, it was a joint meeting.
Oh, yeah.
On one side it's forestry and agriculture, and then on the other it's labor. This was a joint meeting. So this was the meeting with agriculture. You were not in that meeting. Honorable Williams is moving for the adoption. Any seconder? Honorable Mata. Before I close the meeting, Honorable Mata, I need to... Oh, I'm forgetting the report. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal province. Remember, this was the 29th January to 1st February 2018. Let's take 10 minutes to refresh our minds on the report. Page 4, page 5, 22. No, let's look at 12. Elinem construction. The safety boiler makers, 60 welding, 70 learners are persons who contribute to the earth, and 30% can be non-contributors. Are non-contributors, because we are talking about the team that is there. We're not talking about the criteria used. We're talking about the actual team. Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay. Page 9. Honorable William.
It's on recommendation. Although I wasn't asked. Clarity. Recommendations, bullet point 3, bullet point 4, and bullet point 11 talk about, for instance, 3, a decentralization of IT services for productivity in South Africa has to be considered. Also, point 11 talks about has to be considered, and bullet point 11 also has to be considered. So I just want to know, these are recommendations. When you say has to be considered, they could go, and there we go, they've considered it. So don't you want to put more into that, so that it's more than just considered, because considered could, no action can be taken on the consideration. And if it's a recommendation, then it shouldn't be considered. You should, your recommendation should actually be more in proposal form.
Yep. That's it. Advocation again, our advocate.
Like on bullet point 2, the process of professionalization of made by the professionalization of the inspectorate services.
Not that simple. And also, on the other one, what are you recommending?
I'm recommending that we remove the code. We say the process of professionalization of labor inspectorate has to be faster.
Correct. Can we put a time frame to that? If it's a fast track, it can take 3 years to fast track it.
I think it's in the agenda of the department. If my memory serves me well, we also asked this in the last budget board debate when the minister came. I don't know how to, but I understand what you say. But at the same time, there's another process
in relation to the future. Well, yeah. Now, I'm calling it, I think Karik will help us, but it is in the plan for last year, where they were saying that this year, last year and this year, what they want to do with professionalization. They talked about training, reskilling and retooling of labor inspectorates, raising the entry barriers. I remember those issues. We talked to them. Raising the entry barriers. Who qualifies to be a labor inspector? Presently, anyone can be a labor inspector. I'm not quite sure about that one. Mkali, please, you can help us on this one. And even if you don't have the information now, we can ask Gola to look at that report listing and say, what time frame can we put? We can't leave it hanging. With the professionalization, now, if you remember something, I know.
I'm wary of putting a deadline on this issue. Because the project and the organization has got its own specific, I can't remember, when it's got different elements in terms of each of the project. There's the training element of it, there's the upgrading.
Can we look at it this one? To cut you short, say we need a professionalization program. Yeah, project plan. We can put a date to that one.
Yeah.
And that date will help us moving forward to do monitoring.
Okay.
Let's have a definite thing. We shouldn't need a recommendation or anything like that. Can you rephrase it that way?
The project plan time.
What month do we give them to?
3 months.
Honorable Nigam.
It can't be 2 months. Because we are asking something that is there. Because the department has been talking about this. I think for me, within a month after the presentation of the report to the House, because we want something that is already there.
Can you say by the end of April?
Okay.
I've arrested it. Let us look at all these recommendations and see if they've got a time frame for that. Is it something that we can hold the department down to that? Honorable Funder-Rezainer.
Chairperson, may I just recommend the second last bullet under recommendations speaks of the decentralization of applications for subsidized cars. My impression was that it's not only the application process but also the terms of the scheme that is problematic, especially for people who work from urban areas. And what they now do to circumvent the problems of the scheme is that people from this town drive to another area to go and work there, and the people from that town drive into this one. They've said they've actually released the, or relinquished the boundaries, or relaxed the boundaries. because they need to build up a certain kilometers per annum in order to qualify for the subsidized car scheme. Now I find that extremely silly for people to cross one another working, because it's time wasted on the roads, plus the expense of, you know, traveling unnecessarily, just to get within the terms of a scheme which the minister in the past has said is actually a far better scheme than for the department to have its own fleet of cars. Because the minister said this is the most cost effective option, the subsidized vehicle scheme. But now we have this silly thing, and apparently it's from National Treasury, a regulation. It's not the Department of Labour that has got this subsidized car scheme under its policy. So I would like to include in that sentence decentralization of applications for subsidized cars as well as the terms of the scheme. Has to be considered as, and the terms of the scheme amended.
Look, we can't write the recommendation, we can't write the whole paragraph on a recommendation. I think that's fine way of zeroing in on what the real issues are. And that it's about us having a system, a plan, or something, you know, that we can put our hands on and that we could use as a guide, and by what time, by when should that guide be in place or policy.
It's the Department of Transport that administers subsidized cars. It's their policy. No single department can be able to change that policy. Now, if you take a decision that the policy must be amended, the answer doesn't come back yet. But if the Department of Transport will make submission, then maybe what the policy could look at is to what extent, because they ask. To deal with this issue, the answer that the department introduced was these green cars that are owned by the department but are not subsidized cars. In order also to deal with the issue of the people that cannot make up the 70-80%, maybe the community could look at what extent are the green cars likely to be used in order for inspectors that need transport are able, without having to apply for a subsidized car, that there's transport available, and these green cars, how many are they, what is available? Maybe that kind of a question leads to transport. But if you are going to go into the policy, I'm guaranteeing you the answer is going to be that this is Department of Transport that applies to all government lines, and if it's going to be changed, it's going to be changed by the Department of Transport.
Honorable William.
Gentlemen, on a different recommendation,
now let's deal with this one.
Oh, just this one.
Now we'll then move to other. Otherwise, we're going to end up losing this one. Let's strike it when it's still on. Taking a cue from what Mukhalif is saying, I think we need to know how many cars are needed, green cars, and by when will those green cars be bought. Have we budgeted for them? So, what kind of information can you, how do we frame this one? Because I think that's how we need to go. Because the problem we are dealing with here is mobility of inspectors.
The department to solve the problem of that, the uses of that car, introduce green cars. Now, you ask the question yourself, how extensive is this green card being distributed? Are all inspectors have access to this green card? If no, what are the plans for the department to distribute the green card as widely as possible to inspectors?
You came up with an answer to that. We want a program. The department must give us a plan. Yeah, the distribution of vehicles two labor inspectors for them to be able to perform their duty. I think that's how we need to find a phrase in this.
Just as also just following from the discussion, I was thinking that maybe in some of the recommendations, why don't we say that in areas that we identified where inspectors should not accumulate enough clearing houses, the department should make sure that they put more inspectors in those areas. And then where inspectors would actually don't experience any problems in terms of accumulating clearing houses for long distances, there they can focus in terms of pushing the transport team. But in areas that are identified, the government must make sure that they put more inspectors in those areas. And maybe even where it would be the staff doesn't want to take
I think you're making it more complex and it's a very big thing as a recommendation. But I was thinking that, I don't know, what do other members say before I... But I was thinking, let's focus on... Our focus should be on mobility of inspectors. What kind of mode of transport, I mean, what kind of system is used to something else? You know, if the easiest one is to buy pull cars, let's buy pull cars. But pull cars come with its other problems. We cannot deal with those. Because then we'll have transport officers in all the provinces. And this is what they need to do to ensure that cars are inspected because they are passed, before they are passed on to one person. From one person to another, if they say damage, then the person takes responsibility for the damage. We cannot go into that detail. I think let's say, let us get a plan. If they plan in place for accessing a plan, a mobility plan, let's say for labor inspectors. How long can we give them? What time can we give them for that plan? Because we just need a plan, and the plan must be informed by the budget.
3 months. 2 months.
8 weeks. Can we?
I'm looking at the recommendation set. If you look at bullet point number one and bullet point number, the last one, the one that is dealing with cars, it's almost the same thing because the cars are full of freight. Like the full of freight includes the cars, it includes computers, it includes everything that you need for you to be able to be aware. Now, number one says the department must set a target, take consideration the availability of full of freight. Now, in doing that, then the department has got to report to the community what tools of state are available for inspectors to do their job. And including green cards, subsidized cards, where do they give subsidized cards? How are they solving the issue of usage of inspectors? All of that comes together. Those two are interlinked because it talks to the tools of state, and a car is a tool of state.
Chairperson, I don't think we should put specific time limits on each and every point. We should recommend, we should make more than a recommendation that the department furnish this committee within a 2 month period an implementation report on all of the recommendations. So that we can cover everything. So they can come to us in 2 months' time with a report on every single one of these bullets. Instead of coming in 1 month with this one, and then 2 months with this one, and you know what I mean? It's going to be a hassle. If we say 2 months' time, after it's been adopted right before Parliament, that they come up with an implementation report for all the recommendations. And if in that report some of the things aren't their responsibility or something, they can say that in that report that they do it.
For the first time,
Oh, no. Your client.
My client.
So the advocate to about to run out of clients, because your clients can represent themselves. They are so empowered. I said, let us do it that way, but we need to choose this one. Take out the district, this thing, and then we can number them, you know, and say green cards, blah, 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 laptops, etc. But we need to mention the green cards, because for us that is the very main issue. It gives us sleepless nights. And we're getting lots of letters now through my office with people who demand services by labor inspectors in factories. The more people know about us, the more we're receiving letters from them. And if you send this request to a couple, when you know that they don't have a car, you know that that thing will never be handled. You know? So we'll have to rephrase that one. You can add green card centralization of the subsidized vehicle, blah, 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 etc. But we need to have those ways. Because these ways are what the labor inspectors want to hear in the report. Mm-hmm. And if we don't use the weight they use, they'll think that we listen to them. From there we go into our own little thing on the corner. So as we talk to Parliament, we need to talk to them too. No, by the 31st of May. By the end of May, that's it. By the end of May 2013. Because the 31st might be on a Sunday or Saturday and they'll say that. Honorable Nyagam.
Yes, sir. On the bullet point number one, Cabinet Department to encourage to procure furniture from the shelter to employment system. And we have not limited to furniture because the shelter of government can do that. Yes, furniture and other things.
Yeah, but this recommendation is going to be not maybe doesn't it need to be rephrased, because we're talking about things that the department must do, has to do. Maybe we need to say that the department through the SPS need to come up with strategies of addressing marketing of the products produced by this factory to government departments for when they do their purchases.
Two issues of other things are, number one, we are in the shelter of employment system. There's a turnaround strategy that the government has. It also links to that, to the issue of marketing, how they become all those things.
Now, can we say that they need to come up with a marketing strategy for all government departments on the purchasing from SEF?
Yes.
The strategy. How are they going to engage government in this? Are they going to talk to Treasury? Will they talk to whoever? You know, it can be a Treasury regulation to say, you know, but they must come up with a strategy. But how are they going to market our product to government departments? Does it make sense? Or should we call us?
I think there was this new procurement sector, the procurement committee, which says not the open competition. But the DDG test is not the one-on-one with other DDGs, just one of the structures, to say, to know with them on the side, to say, I don't know, I'm not in the same case, there is a process. So if we can say every the department continues to be conduct that we other than going it to the resources that can make it, it can open much.
No. I'm thinking about while I agree with you, I'm listening to what you're saying. But we must get something that will be useful to us. That's why all people who produce things have marketing strategies. You don't produce a thing without thinking what you are going to sell it. But then when you do a marketing strategy, you do market segmentation. Now the market you want them to segment is the public service, government department. You will market your products with them differently from when you market it to finisher shops. Now, what we should ask them to do is they must come up with a marketing strategy for this product, Savona, to all government departments. That strategy might mean talking, engaging treasury, looking at treasury regulation, revisiting of the procurement preference act on whatever, all those related issues. That will be contained in the strategy. We need something that we can say at a later stage and say, the CEO, tell us how many presentations did you make to the procurement committee of the Department of Health? As a person who is producing something, you need to be able to go to possible buyers and call a meeting and say, these are the products I have. And it is government to government, and this person is to get an appointment with all DGs who can facilitate that he meets with people in procurement. There are issues like, for instance, Treasury, Central Procurement Committee, and it deals with financial things like IT, toilet papers and other things and shit, you know. So I'll recommend that they must come up with a marketing strategy for the government. I don't know. What do other members I see in colors and colors?
Now, if you think the external strategy is the external economic plan, which is the marketing but then it will come back to the committee to say, pass that legislation for us to be able to establish.
I don't want the two and two here. There is, on the structure, there is the marketing is there. But what do you want in terms of this recommendation, which comes after our visit to those factories? We have talked to people in the factories. They told us that the problem is marketing. Government is not buying from them. Some departments are buying in. Like some provinces, yes. Others are not. Limpopo won't be one of them. Anyway. But then, what we say in terms of what we are responding to, what we have seen when we are visiting, we're not looking at just the general plan of the SEF. If we want to engage SEF, we'll call them here. They'll come and make a presentation on who they are, what they do, where do they see themselves in the next 20 years. Because if they don't see themselves in the next 20 years, it means there's no reason for them to exist. But now we're talking about this thing, a government, sending to government. There must be a strategy. That is the strategy we want. Unless if we say we want the marketing strategy, it must be here before the time. That is fine. But I'm talking to this bullet. It talks about sending to government. Either we can make it broad and say, marketing strategy for their product. Fine. It covers us. But if you want to focus on government, we'll say their strategies in marketing themselves through the procurement committees of different departments and so on. None of that.
Jefferson, perhaps you could say within the government
Honorable
procurement,
Williams, for the record.
Within the government procurement policy, the Department of Labor must establish a marketing strategy for SEF, self-control government. So we've covered ourselves because it's within the procurement policy. So we're not saying go outside and change the law.
It's about the product at hand and what they can do. You don't have to rework nothing in the law. That's saying that they need to come up with a marketing strategy and particularly with emphasis on marketing their products to the government. That is the strategy we need from them as a recommendation. We recommend that they give us a strategy. Is it in order, Honourable Member?
Yes, Chair.
Is there any other thing? Okay, Colin, you'll rework those. And then, yeah. Honourable Nyagem, no. Let's hear the client first. Honourable William.
Yes, but no, I suppose before we continue, we should adopt this report and recommendation. Officially, or nothing that we said counts. So I'm used to the adoption.
Let's check the legal advice. You're running out of claims.
You can't hear everything what I said.
Now, let's do it this way. Advocate, I think your problem is you empower your clients so much that they don't actually, after representing them, they don't need a lawyer again. They become lawyers themselves. Any mover for the adoption of the report with all the changes? Yeah. It's moved by the collective. Honorable Williams moved, and Honorable Mango in that order. Is there any other matter? And there's a Honorable Member's announcement. The Portfolio Committee on Minerals and on Minerals Resources, they've invited us to a sitting tomorrow where we'll be discussing what? Yarora. Yarora and fruit flea operations. So members are encouraged to attend this meeting. I'm not going to be in this meeting tomorrow. As I have another meeting in Colombo. Excuse me, this meeting is closed. Very much thank you.
No.